Hi everyone, and welcome back to Internet Report's Pulse Update, the bi-weekly podcast where we discuss what's up, what's down, what's working and not working, and generally keep our finger on the pulse of how the internet is holding up week over week. This week we're going to be chatting about how overlapping maintenance schedules resulted in an outage at Slack and other disruptions at Spotify and Wells Fargo, along with the West Africa Cable Cut. And joining me to discuss all this week is Kamal Shankta, my good friend, colleague, and principal internet analyst here at Thousand Eyes. Kamal, welcome back to the Pulse Update podcast. It's been a while, mate.
Thanks, Mike. It's good to be back on the podcast and looking forward to cover this one.
Great stuff, mate. So let's start with the download, my TLDR summary of what to know about the internet this week in 2 minutes or less. So one thing I've been thinking about recently is how important it is to make sure all teams have visibility into work other teams are doing, especially when working on distributed web-based applications or service where everything is linked and depend on each part functioning correctly. It's all too easy for a change for one team to make to unexpectedly impact some another part another team is working on, or the combined impact of both together their changes may accidentally break something. So one way to avoid this is obviously to cut back on the silos as much as possible. But however, it's difficult to eliminate siloed operations or decision-making completely. But the negative impact of silos can be reduced if each team has a view of the end-to-end service that is tailored to the specific area or domain, so it's presented to them in a context they understand and they can actually work with. So one recent incident that illustrates how combined impact of two separate actions can have unintended consequences is the August 2nd Slack disruption, which appeared to be caused by overlapping maintenance schedules. We'll discuss more about what happened during the incident later in the episode, but in short, the Slack disruption lasted from just after 4 p.m. UTC to 6 p.m. UTC and initially prevented users from uploading files or sharing screenshots, with images appearing blurred or greyed out. And for a subset of users, this then progressed into errors or slowness with other functions of the service. Some users encountered slow page load times and general instability, with some appearing even to be unable to log on to the system. In other outage news, on August the 5th, Spotify experienced an issue with a back-end API. This meant that when users searched for the content, it actually returned no results. And any non-downloaded playlist, that's playlist information that hadn't been downloaded, would result in a blank screen. This application behavior meant that many of the users thought the issue lay on their own client, and as a result attempted to resolve the issue themselves by doing things like restarting the app, rebooting the device, and in some cases even deleting and reinstalling the apps, essentially applying the have you tried turning it off and again fix to sort of get around this problem. So again, we're going to discuss this a bit more of the how, why, and what later in this episode. The West Africa Cable System, WACS, and the South Atlantic 3, so SAT 3, cables have suffered new breakages in early August. The same cables have experienced cuts in the past due to weather events, but thankfully newer cable capacity in the region has meant that traffic could be easily or mostly routed around these cuts. So we frequently now see this kind of route diversity worldwide, with fewer single routes in and out of countries, so these single dependencies, or between countries or continents. And this has significantly aided the internet's resilience and the ability to deal with the ambient or anomalous operating conditions. And finally, in today's TLDR, on August 5th, for the second time this year, Wells Fargo experienced an issue with its banking apps, where deposits did not show up in the customer's accounts. The nature of this outage hasn't been fully explained, but on the surface there's similarities to the recent issues at Australia's Commonwealth Bank, where users faced excessive wait times when trying to call information from the back-end system sitting behind the banking app UI. So again, this is somewhere where we're looking at the front end we can actually get to, but this connectivity into the back-end systems is not there. As always, we've included the chapter links in the description box below, so you can skip ahead to sections that are most interesting to you at any time. And if you haven't subscribed yet, we'd love if you take a minute to hit subscribe button now. It really helps us out, and also make sure that you're the first to know when new episodes drop. Please feel free to email us at internetreport@thousandeyes.com. We always welcome your feedback and questions. And now, let's take a look at the overall outage trends we've been seeing. So global outages exhibited a slight upward trend over this two-week period, initially rising from 156 to 171, which is a 10% increase when compared to July 24 to 30th. So this was followed by a rare week where the total outage observed remained constant.
Yes, that's definitely not something that we see too often. It's worth noting that this pattern was not reflected on the U.S. outages. U.S.-centric outages initially rose from 60 to 63, which is a 5% increase when compared to July 24 to 30th. And then they dropped to from 63 to 59 the next week, which is a 6% decrease.
Yeah, we did see a difference there. And when we look at the percentage of all observed outages made up by the US-centric outages, the US-centric outages accounted for 36% of all observed outages from July 31 to August 13th, which is somewhat smaller than the percentage we observed during the prior 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's the first time we are seeing the percentages this low since April. And it probably has to do something with the summer in the Northern Hemisphere. There's no possible other reason, I guess, like people are taking PTOs, there's not enough workforce in the offices to make all of these changes. And obviously what we are seeing is the tail end of that, which is smaller number of outages overall.
Yeah, that's right. And then definitely worth watching to see how things progress in the coming weeks. And as this two-week period we're currently examining includes the end of July, let's reflect on those outage trends across the entire month. So we look at then the global outages dropped from 710 to 691 in July, which is a 3% decrease compared to June. And this pattern again was reflected in the US, with outages dropping from 310 to 308, so a 1% decrease. And as you said, Kamal, this is probably reflecting this Northern Hemisphere summer we're actually in at the moment.
Agreed. This downward trend from June to July reflects the patterns we observed the previous years as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll definitely be interested to see how the numbers are going to fluctuate as the summer draws to a close. And hopefully I reach summer. So that'll be good. So now let's discuss some of the outages from the last few weeks as we go under the hood. On August the 2nd, from 4:01 PM UTC to 6 PM UTC, Slack experienced an issue that initially prevented users from uploading files or sharing screenshots with images appearing blurred or grayed out for a subset of users. This then progressed into errors or slowness with other functions of service. Some users encountered slow pages, slow load times, and general instability, with some even appearing as the outage went on to be unable to log on. What we're going to do is we're just going to take a look at that, so what it looked like inside ThousandEyes. And so for all of those listening in audio only, what we're looking at here is we're going to show as a screen of the outage as seen from ThousandEyes platform. And I'll be sure to talk you through it so you don't miss out. And for those who aren't familiar, ThousandEyes is a platform that gives you a great view of the entire digital supply chain. We have ThousandEyes agents across the internet providing us multiple vantage points to see where disruptions are happening at both the network and application server levels. So I want to demonstrate how visibility here can be especially useful in helping operation teams quickly identify and fix issues that come up. So with that, let's actually take a look and see what it looks like. So what I want to start off with, I just want to look at this view from Internet Insights. So Internet Insights is actually providing us that collective intelligence. So we're taking the measurements from the cloud agents, the enterprise agents, which allows us to have that collective view of what's happening. And there's a couple of things here that really interested me, Kamal, when I actually looked at it. So the first one here is we actually see the outage start on the hour. So we actually see it start at that, or the disruption, I should say, start at that 4 PM UTC time across there. And then the second point to that is this beautiful castellation pattern that comes up. I'm a simple man. I love my patterns. But here we're actually sort of seeing these castellations. So to start with there, if I'm saying it starts on the hour, one of my assumptions there is we're thinking normally, outages happen all the time, but really for it to actually sort of start on the hour, maybe it's been triggered by some sort of automation, some sort of schedule thing. So that's my first thing. And then I'll go into this next bit, which is this castellation. This pattern to me, if I look like there, looks like it's almost intermittent, i.e. disruptions intermittent. Is that a fair thing to say, Kamal, or?
So the first one is actually spot on. I would say that the fact that it starts at the top of the hour indicates that it might be either some automation task to your point, or potentially some maintenance being worked on. But when it comes to the second point, actually, what I would say that this was the outage, and even more so, what really looks like it happened in this particular case is the fact that we see this, like, you know, spiky kind of trend, as part of which there's a spike, then it kind of recovers, then it spikes, then it recovers. It looks like they were potentially rolling something out, and then, like, you know, resiliency of the application would take over, or essentially not just resiliency of the application, maybe their operational procedures would kick in, automation would kind of like try to smooth things out. However, when they were roll it to some potentially other cluster, we would see the spike, then like it smoothens out. So this kind of spiky nature of these things indicates that, you know, they were gradually rolling potentially something out. However, the fact is that, you know, this solid red light or red color indicates that the outage was happening while this was happening. And, you know, there's no beating around the bush. This is what we are seeing. They were affected, and it's quite obvious there.
That's a good point you said about the solid red line and the outage time. And yeah, absolutely, I think. And as we get into it, you know, we know what happened. We can see this come there. And I think you're right about the rolling out from there, because I, you know, sort of the intermittent come from there. But it's like, what's we coping with? But it's again, it's an indication that something's happening, I think, which is what you're saying there. And the other one you're saying about the red, the outage there, you know, we talked at the top, and the official announcement from Slack talks about that 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. UTC. And when we're actually looking here, we've seen the major part of that disruption lasting an hour. So going on to there. So what we're saying here is that in terms of disruption, it's sort of started to sort of clear around the, from our perspective and what we're seeing from a user impact, it starts to clear around that 1710. But the effects sort of can go on a little bit longer, but this is a time for them to see that. So to your point about where the automation kicks in, they're starting to roll things back, or they're starting to look what's happening. You know, we get this sudden drop off at the end here, where maybe the sort of we know what happened. They actually sort of stopped something happening at this point, and we then started to see things service recover, so they're able then to fix it. It was this combination of two things colliding. So in isolation, it was actually good, but the fact that these happening. But let's get into that. The final point before I move off the internet insights, where I'm actually looking, I've actually gone down. I'm now looking at the Sankey view, which is showing me the agents, the points running into the from an application perspective, then running into the destination, so the Slack server. One of the things we were doing, and what you looked at when we do an analysis of this outage, is if I actually sort of flip that into what am I going to do is to show the server network to see where this application is hosted. We can see it's hosted in Amazon. But then if we actually looked at what else was happening within Amazon at time, we could see that this was isolated specifically to the Slack application itself, hosted on the Amazon. So it wasn't the sector we could deduce from that. Or again, here's a question to you, Kamal. Is it safe to deduce from that then that this is a problem with the application, or the degradation is happening within the application level as opposed to the underlying infrastructure, the hosting environment?
Yes, it's pretty indicative in this particular case. Yes, they are hosted on Amazon. And what we are looking at are two different Amazon autonomous system numbers, 6509, which is their backbone, and the other one is their data center autonomous system number. Obviously, the application itself is hosted there, but given the fact that there is no indications about different outages happening within the Amazon, which we also closely monitor as well, indicates that this is most likely application outage itself.
So that's great, Kamal. Yeah, now we've seen that at that high level, that macro view. So let's actually come down and see what was happening at individual tests. So what I've done now is I've actually gone into one of the tests that was impacted there. So I'm actually looking at here, which is a page load test. And why it's a page load test is important, as I show you, because what I'm looking at to start with here is, again, we see the turn off, the light switch on off moment. So I'm actually looking at the HTTP server availability, and I can see it sort of goes down. But a couple of things that's kind of important. So I've actually got my marker in the middle there. So I'm actually looking at somewhere where all my points are red, and I can see if I come down to the bottom view there, I can see it's actually occurring at that application. So confirming what we actually saw there. But if I actually sort of go halfway in, I can start to see a couple of things. So I can actually see that some of them are actually available. I'm actually reaching these, so I'm actually getting through there. So the number of agents impacted is less. So again, one of the things I'm thinking here, Kamal, is that where this obviously has an impact global, which then says we're actually the application, but it's not in some sort of load balancer or CDN type of infrastructure. It's something more fundamental in the back end of the application, because I'm not seeing it almost in a follow the sun or a follow the region type of impact coming there. And again, then at the bottom, I'm seeing this fluctuation where I see sort of different levels of availability as I sort of come through the outage.
Yeah, agreed. So the fact that it was pretty global indicates that it wasn't rolled out gradually, you know, to different users in different parts of the world. Rather than that, it's actually, to your point, light switch off, as part of which we can see that every single agent that was testing, or almost every single agent that was testing this particular URL, observed the problem. To your point also, what we might be looking at is something that happened in the backend, which had like negative cascading effect on complete application.
Yep. Exactly. Now, that's a great segue in. If I then switch to look at the page load, so I've come up from there. Now, we saw availability sort of dropping down in some cases to zero. If I then look at the page load, which is the time it takes for that complete page load, and we may be actually calling different components within that page. And another point here, actually, I should make is that this did impact all devices. So this was the desktop client. This was the HTTP, if you just say HTTP, the browser portal, the web portal. This is whenever you're interacting with Slack, this was the same problem occurred, which again is indicative that it's an application as opposed to sort of a platform or a hardware level from there. But if I'm looking at that page load time, I can see the page loads increase. Now, obviously, that shows me I've got a problem. We were talking in a previous podcast, we're talking about the fact when page load time decreases because I'm not loading as many objects onto that page, so it gives the impression of performance. In this situation, we saw it increase, right? So we're actually then sort of seeing wait times increase as we go from there. But if I actually then look specifically at the number of objects we're actually loading, I can actually go into there and I can see if I'm looking before the incident occurred, I'm actually sort of seeing the 27, 28 types of objects. But then at the height, that sort of flips down to I'm actually seeing 15, 14 for some of those. So I'm not loading as many coming from there, but my page load is taking more time. So what is that kind of indicating or telling us there? What can we deduce from that?
So I actually think that, you know, out of two situations that you just described, the one is like, you know, where the latency or page load times dip. This one is better because I would say that this indicates that the application is actually trying to recover. Like, this is what that's telling me, right? The timeouts are bigger, you know, applications trying to retry to load multiple different objects, ultimately resulting in, you know, increased page load times or, you know, latency. So like, to your point, you know, we went from a couple of hundred of milliseconds to seconds, you know, and obviously in today's world, that's going to reflect, you know, as pretty terrible user experience. But I would say that, you know, loading anything is better than not loading anything. So in that particular case, I would say that this particular application related outage is, you know, better from the user perspective, I would say.
That's true to a degree, except what we were failing to load and from there is we're actually sort of failing to load, or we weren't failing to load them, we're failing to specifically call them and actually get them loaded in, things like if I was posting an image or I was actually trying to do it. So what I'm actually looking for is that base page, I get everything come through from there. But what was then failing to load was that image. So I couldn't attach an image to Slack or a screenshot from there. So that was it. So yep, you're absolutely right. And it's actually a good point you pull out from there. So yeah, absolutely right. It's actually good. It's up, it's available. It would actually show it's working. But what then happens or manifests itself is that I think it's working. I can actually get to the system, but it's not functioning exactly as I actually need it to do. To us, what that indicated then was we're failing to pull something from that back end there. As I said, you know, we actually know what occurred here, and I'll get into that in a minute. But just before I do, just one thing I actually want to sort of just show what there was, just, you know, we've gone through, we've said it's an application issue. We can see there's a problem on the application. But let's just take a look specifically. I want to see all these things in context together. So let me just have a look at the sort of the network itself. And then I actually want to put down, you know, my leading indicator for everything is going to be loss. And let me just have a look at latency. So now what I've actually done, I've stacked them together. And if I could draw a line straight through, I can see my latency is consistent across the time. So I'm actually reaching these sites for my agents. But it's actually when I then sort of go in, you know, we've got the availability from the HTTP level, see my page load times increasing, but then I've got zero loss on there. So again, we can actually deduce that it's essentially not such a network issue there, or we don't believe there's anything significant happening on the network at that time. So what I'm trying to say here is this is bringing everything into context where we actually want to put everything together in once to give us that that single holistic view of that service delivery.
And overlaying different metrics is pretty helpful and pretty awesome in this particular case. You can quite obviously see that HTTP server availability dipped. You can see that page load time increased. Most importantly, we can see that the timeline matches when this happened. When the lights went off for the HTTP server availability, we can see that page load time went up. However, at the same time, we can see that latency and loss were consistent, which indicate that this was clearly application-related outage rather than something that happened on the network. And to have this kind of visibility within the minutes, from the event happening is pretty powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And that correlation is really important, right? And it's true, you need to correlate that straight down through there. It's easy to have information on a single screen, or I could just look. And this comes back to what we're talking out at the top, where we're talking about the different groups. So if I'm actually doing one particular task over here, I've got a whole bunch of metrics and silo measurements that are specific to where I'm working on. And this is what I'm looking at. All the lights are green. I come over here and I'm starting to see errors. But what's the cause of that? So if I can correlate those through together, I can come straight through. I can see where that difference is. And this is what we're talking about in terms of giving other areas or other departments or other parts of an organization, people with different domain responsibilities, visibility in a context they understand. So if I'm actually doing here, and let's say what happened here. So what occurred here, and why we got that happening at the top of the hour, where we're seeing there, is that there's a scheduled job that runs typically on the top of the hour, which actually goes and checks the custom status information for the Slack. So, information that might be set up. So have we turned off the little PTO time that was on all month for some people? So we have those, was that disappeared from there? And he goes through and checks this on the hour. Now that does a certain amount of database calls. At the same time, what was occurring was there was a database cluster migration occurring at the back end. So this was scheduled, that she went through from there. But what happened was they reduced capacity in a database. So because they had to do it, and this was their job they were doing. So this, again, that point you were making earlier, where we're saying about, sometimes it's we sort of just have to, we know it's going to cause problems, we're going to do there, which is then why you schedule it out of hours, essentially. And if you've got global users, it might be more difficult. But what happened that this case was the amount of calls we were starting to make in. We're hitting this database on the cluster on a reduced capacity. And then we were failing to reach objects because they weren't available. And this is then where we started to get that sort of jump up and down, where sometimes we got through, sometimes we didn't get through. So it's this combination. So there was two events, which in isolation, perfectly happy. This job runs typically every hour. It's fine. It works. But put the two together and we start to get this system. This issue, the perfect storm as it was coming together. And also what that wanted just to sort of show again. So you talked really nicely there about this having the information in context, this being able to see things across from there. And it's about giving the information that people seem to need to understand. Because one of the other things that occurred as this went on, we obviously increased the queue depth. So we were starting or overloaded the queues were coming in. There was more queries coming in. So Slack basically had to stop the job running so they could actually sort of see what was going on, so they could sort of back things out and do it that way. But one of the things that sort of manifested itself as it went through was then we talked about this is this people starting to have issues logging on. Now, I just want to just show you what that actually looked like, because this is information they understand. As much as, I could give you a hex dump and you'd be more than happy to wade through that. If I'm actually want to give that to somebody else, they're going to go, yep, that's fine. You can say, oh, it's in offset 37 on page 67 of this doc, knock yourself out. But if I can show them a picture of what's happening, then they're able to say, yep, okay, All right. And then we trace back to this correlated view. So it's a good point, Kamal, what you talked about in terms of having that information, that context together. So here, what I'm actually looking at is a transaction. And when I talk about a transaction, it's that sort of interaction where I can actually see, so I actually might log on. And the point I'm showing you this, or we're going through this, is because I want to see a pictorial. So this is looking at a login page. So this is before the incident that was occurring, and I started to see a normal login page. So this is what I expect to see. This is what's going on. This is my transaction happening there. Then when I actually sort of get into the issue itself, although we're still having the issue here because I'm looking at a transaction, I'm actually looking at the login page, it's still occurring, but we can see the transaction time's gone up, but I'm still actually getting to that login page. However, what happens as the issue starts to build, and the you know, we start to get an overload, then I start to get this refusal. And this is what the users actually started to experience. As they were going into it, they started all of a sudden to see, I'm sorry, something went wrong, we can't actually connect. A couple of things on that is I'm actually getting to the system. So remember, when we saw that network path was all good, the latency was low, we could actually get there. But now we're actually getting a response to the server because I'm seeing a server error, but I'm getting this something went wrong sort of screen. So I guess here, and what I'm interested in your thoughts on, Kamal, is this pictorial representation of what's going on. This, I believe, is actually useful to these other groups. And this is what we talk about when we talk about common operating language, is giving people information in a context that they're going to be able to understand so they can actually apply it.
Agreed. It's so helpful. So I was just looking at this. This tied to the timeline view that you have is actually quite awesome combinations. In this particular case, what you were showing out and I was thinking about is the fact that you have like complete end-to-end view before the issue started, during the issue, and after the issue. So here in this particular case, we can see that a login page was working fine. You know, we see like, fields where you can provide username, password, and other authentication methods. However, during specific time when the queue loaded up, as you pointed out, we can see that there is an error clearly indicated what went wrong. You know, and then you can use it as a additional, point within to break down these silos to your point, as part of which you can say, like, to the relevant team, this is what we are observing. And, there's the saying that, picture is worth 1,000 words, and, there's no beating around that, right? Like, it's pretty obvious by itself what's happening here. So the relevant team can take the, remediation actions from that point on.
That's exactly right. Picture paints 1,000 words. That's exactly my word. So thanks for that, Kamal. Okay, so let's actually move on to the next outage. What's interesting about these outages is that they appear operational, but when issues impact key functionality, it can affect usability. And this was the case with our next outage at Spotify. So on August the 5th, Spotify experienced a functional failure where searches yielded no results and non-downloaded playlist information failed to render. And when we talk about non-downloaded playlist information, what we mean is under Spotify, you have the option to actually download data and actually have it residing on a device. So this basically meant we couldn't actually pull information from the back. So while the application itself appeared functioning and the existing download playlist worked as normal, you could listen to it. I was experiencing this myself. The backend search API, or the API that instigated search, was appearing to fail. So the way the outage manifests itself meant that users actually felt that there was actually an issue on with the client themselves. So I personally experienced this. And when the search came back with no results, my first thing to do was actually just to close the app around from there. So Kamal, with this, and I think this sort of goes a little bit to what you were just talking about in the previous outage when we're talking about Slack there, is this having this information to understand what was going on. In all intents and purposes, I'd actually look at Spotify, I'd see it was up, I'd look at my desktop, I could actually play the music or the podcast from there, but it was just something that the search, and it would actually return information. It would return no records found. So I'm thinking I'm getting a response back from there. It must be something my typing or the client. So how would the contextual information sort of help in this case?
Yeah, before I even start speaking about that, it's actually quite interesting to see how, people perceive this outage, music and podcasts and all the things that Spotify provides in such a nice smooth way became so much mission critical, so to say, to certain people that, to your point, people stopped applications. Some people went ahead and actually reinstalled the applications thinking that, it's the version of the application that they are having is having some certain problems, which is all to say that, you know, people do fundamentally care about the service itself. But when it comes to visibility, it would be very helpful to find out that something, a certain component of the product is not working the way it's supposed to. In this particular case, I would say that, you know, number of queries that are resulting, no results find would be one of the very good metrics to look at in this particular case. But also knowing that, you know, information such as like whether this is caused by something on the infrastructure side or this is purely application related would be huge time saver for everyone involved. And then you would not see like, you know, outages that are spending multiple hours. You would see outages or application related issues that are lasting minutes rather than hours.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point as well, because it's that let's identify the domain of responsibility. So where is this fault lie? Where does it go from there? So not necessarily just about proving innocence, but where can I actually do to sort of resolve this to get me back on? As you said, Spotify is a mission critical to me. I put the headphones on and I can actually sort of start work reviewing the docs going from there. The way I actually looked, and this goes a little bit back into looking at, we talked about distributed applications. We talk about the fact then we have these dependencies. A big part of that is APIs. So what's happening when I'm making a database query, which is what this is doing essentially, is I'm actually making a query to search the database, to find me the songs, to find me the podcast, to find the Pulse Update podcast, to actually be able to sort of download that to my system or to stream it is more accurately to come there. That call, that API is actually not making. So the problem itself sort of manifests itself. There was actually a change to that search API. And the reason I say that is because it was returning information. So returning me information. We weren't seeing 500 errors where I couldn't make a connection to that back-end service or unavailable or what was from there. But what I was actually seeing coming back was information said no data was actually found. So it suggested essentially that there was a change to that search API, and then it sort of rolled back basically from there. That's what it appeared to be.
Yeah, that sounds about it. To your point, like some issues are usually harder to discover compared to the other ones. Like it would be relatively easy for teams to figure out, yes, this is 500, so it's quite obvious on what's happening. But like, you know, given the fact that we are getting messages saying, you know, no results found, indicates that something is working fine, right, to a certain degree, but not fully, which in this particular case is, you know, indicative of issue that's harder to find. So when we started speaking, I said, like, you know, number of queries that are returning no results found would be something that I would be closely monitoring this particular case to see whether there's a spike in these metrics.
Perfect. That's exactly right. Because when we talk about API monitoring, you know, typically we talk about reachability and availability, which is important, right? That's obviously important. Can I get to it in the first place? That's the fundamental. Come back to our foundational building blocks. I need to resolve a name with DNS. So I actually need to be able to connect to get from there. But also to your point there, I need to be able to execute something on there so that I understand what it is. So if I get a spike of no returns or nulls or whatever it can be from there, exactly right. I can react in a timely manner. So really what we're talking about here is that complete service delivery chain. So again, back to the top of the program, when we're talking about this ability to bring everything together in a holistic perspective, because you know every little cog matters in ensuring that digital experience for the user. As always, it's been an absolute pleasure, Kamal, and I really hope to have you back on again soon.
Likewise, my friend. Looking forward to doing this again very soon, hopefully.
Excellent. Thanks, mate. So that's our show. Please like and subscribe. We really appreciate it, and it's valuable to us. As I mentioned at the top, not only does this ensure that you're notified as soon as a new episode is available, but it really does help us in shaping the show for you. So follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Thousand Eyes, and any questions, feedback, or guests you'd actually like to see on, please send us a note at internetreport@thousandeyes.com. So until next time, goodbye.